Great. There's just want to take a few minutes, only a few minutes, just to speak for a little while. There's a strong theme coming through this morning in what we've been doing. I want to come back to Andy's picture of the, you know, holding the curtain shut to keep out the light of God, because I think that is a real challenge to us at so many different points of our lives. I mentioned earlier the theme of living under the grace and the banner of God, and we in our church have been carefully going through Genesis over the last year or so. Genesis being the very first of the 66 books that makes up the Bible, telling the story of our origins and the goings on amongst all the families that are the ancestors of us all. So you've come in season one, episode 43, and but like all good box sets, you can join at any particular time. And you can still get something out of it. You don't have to go back and watch all other 42 versions first. But it's really good to come in on this. And one of the things that we found is that there really is nothing new under the sun. These people and families were hugely dysfunctional, flawed and challenged. And yet in the middle of all the mess, God was at work making himself known. And the Bible does that over and over again, and it's so encouraging to us that we don't have to have everything right before we come to him. But he's so good at being found in the middle of our mess and creating order out of chaos. Sometimes we are found in a heap, and God's grace and infinite patience leads us to life. We'll have baptisms next week, and we'll hear stories about people who are coming to faith. And often the story is, I was in a heap, but yet God found me and lifted me and changed me and changed the outcome of my story. And that's the theme that comes all the way through Genesis and into the rest of the history of God's word. His infinite patience leads us to life. And one of the story that we've been focusing on most recently is one of the more well-known Old Testament stories, which you might know as Joseph and his amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, but that's not the official title of the story, but that is how it's become known. And we've been following the ups and downs of Joseph's life. And in Genesis 37, Joseph was sold into slavery by his jealous brothers. A horrible story. But under God's hand, he rose to prominence and power in Egypt, which wasn't an easy ride. He was unjustly imprisoned and he suffered a lot, but God was with him through it all. He was able to interpret the Pharaoh's dreams, and as a result, he was rewarded and became very, very powerful. He predicted that there would be 7 years of abundance followed by 7 years of severe famine. And it was that famine that forced Joseph's brothers from years, you know, he hadn't seen them for years and years and years. It forced them to come to Egypt to look for grain for the sake of their family. And God orchestrated the circumstances whereby the family could be reconciled. It was like I've said from the beginning, the outworking of the grace of God over so many years through so many circumstances. And you see the hand of God in it all. And so these brothers have turned up in Egypt. Joseph knew who they were, but they didn't know who he was. And he didn't. Being somebody extremely powerful. You know, we see power played out in the world all the time, don't we? On our TV screens and the news broadcasts and all that. What people's own interpretation of what power means. Joseph had power. And yet he didn't use this as an opportunity to crush his brothers or to wreak revenge on his brothers. But he saw it as an opportunity for reconciliation. One of those times in the human story where the light of God's character breaks through the darkness. And remember the curtains Andy talked about, where we hold them together and yet the light forces its way through. That God comes into our life and into our circumstances in ways that turns the story on its head. Things don't just go the way of all flesh, but God is able to change the outcome. He's able to change your story. He's able to change my story. And so many of us have that testimony of how he has done that. He breaks through the dark. This could have been a really, really horrible story if Joseph had just followed his human nature and instincts. He could have seen his brothers before him and thought, well, here we go. This is my opportunity to have my way of revenge against them. And it could have been an absolute massacre. But yet, God had a different end to the story that he wanted to bring about. Joseph's brothers in this circumstance, as they stood before him, were weak. They were vulnerable, they were afraid, they could have been destroyed, But God's mercy triumphs over judgment. That's one of the phrases that comes through the word time and time again, that God's mercy triumphs over judgment. That we think some often when we look with our layman's view, if you like, or our instinctive view of God, we think, well, he's somebody who might judge me. He might somebody who might be disappointed in me. He might somebody who might want to have his say against me, like an unjust head teacher or whatever. But yet God's mercy triumphs over judgment. Like God prefers mercy to judgment. God prefers grace to revenge. He prefers it, and we're the better for it. These brothers had been to Egypt once before looking for grain, and Joseph had put them to the test. I'm going through, you can read the story yourself. We're challenged for time this morning, but hopefully putting a synopsis to the story. But please do go and read Genesis 43 if you can and if you're able. He had detained one of their brothers, Simeon, and insisting that when they returned, they should bring Benjamin, their youngest brother. Benjamin was Joseph's blood brother from the same mother. And he had a real interest in seeing him. And so he wanted to put them to the test. So he kept Simeon in detention and said, you know, when you come back, I'll release him to you again. So it was a test for them. They had no idea what was going to happen. They persuaded their father, Jacob, to let them go. But he was very, very reluctant. But in the end, he agreed because their survival depended on it. Jacob's love and affection for his family was overriding any sense he had for wanting revenge on them. It's just, again, it's like that chink of light coming through. We would think, if we wrote this story, we wouldn't imagine that there was going to be so much opportunity for goodness and light to come out of it. But in actual fact, this is what God does. He turns things upside down and inside out. And so when they arrived in Egypt, Joseph hosted them at his own house. They were a bit suspicious and fearful because they didn't understand what was happening. But Joseph used the opportunity to bless them. We've talked about blessing this morning. He showed them hospitality and he lavished it upon his young brother Benjamin. Gave him five times as much as he gave anybody else. And so this reunion was a traumatic one. It was a difficult one for Joseph, but it was also one that was joyful and held a lot of promise for the future. Joseph was actually, by the grace of God, thinking about the future rather than the past, thinking about what was possible rather than what had happened, drawing a line and saying, actually, I'm not going to allow things to get fixed in time, a particular thing. And so many things happen in our lives that define us. We look at them, we look at negative things that have happened, traumatic things that have happened, and we say, that defines my life from now on. But in actual fact, Joseph was saying, I'm not going to allow that to happen. We're going to be, the future is going to be different to the past. And so very quickly, what can we learn? The key to life is learning to embrace our circumstances and discover the grace of God in them, regardless of what has happened. Joseph wasn't actually imprisoned by the bitterness of what he lost as a result of his brother's actions. In fact, he used it as an opportunity for life. His dealings with them later in life, he was determined not to judge them on who they were, but he wanted to see what they had become. There was a willingness to look at them with grace and with kindness. They had conspired to kill him. They'd sold him off as a slave. They concealed the fact from their father. Their father had grieved for years, believing that Joseph was dead. How was there any coming back from that horrible position? But in actual fact, we see over the course of years, somehow these men had improved. Their characters had changed. Their outlook had become better rather than worse. They were better men over time. Judah was a ringleader in what they did to Joseph. And yet in these stories, he shows that he's willing now to sacrifice himself, to put his own life at risk for the sake of his brothers. As I was preparing this, I thought about my education, and I went back and I thought, I'm not pretending to be an expert in science or anything like that, but there was something niggling in my mind. I said, there's a theory about this sort of thing. And so I looked it up on Google and found out that it's called entropy theory. That basically says that everything tends towards chaos. Everything tends to fall apart. Everything tends to get worse. Things don't get better. You don't get good things out of bad. Bad things just become worse. Darkness just becomes, things just unravel. It's the natural way. It's the way of all flesh. And yet, as we read the human story in the pages of the Bible from the beginning, even when everything has gone terribly wrong, even when the wheels fall off, there is a force, there is a life force that works against the chaos, that makes things better even when they were worse, that brings light out of darkness, that brings life out of death. And that is the Spirit of God at work. Right back at the beginning of Genesis, we read that there was darkness over the whole earth. There was chaos. There was disorder. And yet, suddenly, in the middle of that, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And so the pushback began, and he started pushing back. And that this natural entropy theory that says everything just gets worse and worse and worse and unravels and the wheels fall off. God says, actually, I'm going to make it different. I'm going to push back. I'm going to push back up the hill rather than run down the hill and actually see that things can actually turn out. And that's been the story of human history, because if you think about it, things went terribly wrong from the beginning and they should be even worse now. But yet, the force of God's life coming into our lives, mercy triumphs over judgment, light triumphs over darkness, life triumphs over death. That's the way of God. That's what he wants to do in our lives, bring order out of the chaos. It's the life force of God. And you look at our world and you can listen to the news and you can feel so depressed because you think, where do we go from this? There's no bounce back from this. Things are just getting worse and worse. And yet there is order that comes out of chaos by the life. There's almost like a parallel life that comes out. When you hear the stories from a Christian point of view of what's happened in Ukraine and the terrible destruction and the destruction of life and the destruction of hope and the destruction of buildings and everything just looks a mess. And yet you hear the stories about people coming to life, coming to faith in Christ, the church growing in Iran, where there's so much going on, and yet the church is growing. There's such a lot that is happening. The life force of God at work in this world, bringing order out of chaos. There was hope for Joseph's family because God had been filling the space in their lives over the years, even unseen. The grace of God is unseen so many times, but he brings order out of our chaos. We see he shapes, he guides, he orchestrates events to make himself known and to establish his purposes. And so, to have faith in God is to acknowledge his presence, to acknowledge his life, to acknowledge his light. Back to Andy's picture again of us being in a dark room where we're holding the curtains shut, and yet the light is shining. The light always shines, whether we acknowledge it or not. But the challenge is, will we open the curtains? Will we actually say, wow, this has always been there. Now I'm going to live in the good of it. And that's the turn in our hearts. Our faith in God doesn't make God real. But it's just our acknowledgement, our opening our eyes, our recognition of what he does in our lives. And many of us could tell difficult stories, and we've been through ups and downs, and we've been through pain, and we've been through trauma, and we've been through difficulty, and yet you're here today hearing the word about the light of God shining in our lives, and the question, will we open up our hearts and will we open up our minds to see that God has always been shining in our lives? Things for Joseph's family, things weren't easy, things were difficult, things were traumatic, things were filled with grief, but yet as we get towards the end, we see actually God was shining through it all, that he was actually working it all out. It could have been so awful, the outcome of this story, and yet it ended up being so good because God was working to bring order out of chaos. Grace is at work in our world and in our lives. The question is, will we open our eyes and see it? There's a phrase, isn't there, that we say, oh, but for the grace of God. There, but for the grace of God, go I. Where would we be but for the grace of God? Where would we be today but for the grace of God? Think back over all the things that could have happened to your life. Maybe things have happened to your life. Maybe you feel lucky or blessed. Maybe you feel like there's no blessing in your life or your circumstances at all. But either way, the light of God is shining, and we need to look and see and have eyes to see and hearts to understand what it is that he's doing in our lives, bringing our chaos into order. We can resist him, but he's real. Our resistance, our opinion doesn't change things, but it prevents us from knowing and being able to trust God. We sang the names of God at the beginning. Jehovah Nissi fights our battles. Jehovah Jireh provides our needs, and all the other ones that I've forgotten. He does them all. Continually works for our good. And so God is calling us to open our eyes and see that maybe after a very long time, like Joseph, that all the time he simply holds our lives in the palm of his hand. Wants us to look up and understand that. Understand that actually, whatever we think, there is a force that is bringing our lives into order, bringing our lives into line, that is where things could have been so different, could have been so dark, could have been so negative. And yet there is an opportunity to open up the curtains and allow the light of God to shine and say, well, thank you, God, to give thanks in all circumstances for the grace of God. That was the story of Joseph. There was no human agency. There was no reason to believe that things would work out well, but yet God was able to orchestrate the circumstances. Are we ready to open up our eyes and to see the grace of God at work in our lives and to finally say, well, God, in it all, you do all things well. And at the end of the story, we want to be those who celebrate the grace of God and know that we could pick up any number of things. We could say, oh, what about this and what about that and what about the other? But when we open up our eyes and we see the light of the grace of God, we can always see where he's working. We can see this life force that is bringing order out of chaos. Amen. Thanks, Andy.